FM 169.
It's radioactive.
Welcome back to The Other Side with Angie and Troy, and our guest Candace Chulu, founder and editor of Whosoever, an online magazine for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered Christians. Welcome back to our show, Candace.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're good.
We're
how
doing
are you?
Good.
With the current climate, have you found there's an increase in your readership or
hits?
It seems to me that there's an increase in the hate mail I'm getting.
Really?
Yeah.
From these good Christian people, right?
Oh, yeah. They're always good Christian people. It always starts off with, I don't want to judge you, but...
You're going to hell.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with that saying judge, but...
Yeah. Well, then the judgment begins.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're going to hell, or but you're wrong, and God will punish you severely.
So what do you contribute that to?
Ignorance. I'm sorry, Candace.
I know, but the you think in this time, a period of strife and...
Can we just get along, like Rodney King said, or can we just love one another?
A war. You think people would be seeking answers and comfort, but no, they're...
And compassion.
Yes.
Well, it's interesting. I sometimes frequent message boards, and basically when I go on the message boards, I talk about God's love, and mm-hmm. I always talk about... You know, how God loves everybody and how it's wonderful that God's love is so unconditional. And, you know, the Bible says we don't even have to repent for God's love. God loved us while we were still sinners. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
And I go on to message boards and I preach this, and you would be amazed. I mean, people will write and they will absolutely say, no, God does not love unconditionally. God does not love everybody.
Mm. Wow.
And it's amazing. And these are people who say, you know, I'm a Bible-believing Christian, and God does not love everybody.
Wow.
And it always reminds me of something that author Bruce Bauer once said. He said that, you know, that to some fundamentalists, God's love just isn't any fun unless you can deny it to someone else.
Oh, I like.
Well, but you know, it's sad, though, that people want to take that type of position with dispensing God's love. And you know, his word and his love was never meant to be that way. If you go back and read, you know, the Bible, it talks about, you know, the people that he found and or they were accused of doing wrong, and when they were brought before him, you know, what he would say and admonish those people who would bring these people, you know, want him to, like, punish them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you who without sin cast the first stone. So my thing is, like, why are people so quick to want to judge others without looking first inwardly?
Well, I think... Honestly, I think there's a lot of fear
mm-hmm.
there.
I agree.
Because I think that they really believe that that God's love isn't endless, and they have to get theirs, and to make them feel better about themselves. Hey, I've got God's love, but hey, you don't.
Because
it's always an us and them
mm-hmm.
sort of thing, and it really is terrible.
Yeah, sort of the make yourself look better and by putting right. someone else down.
Well, that and I've always heard the, you know, the phrase that they love to trot out is love the sinner, hate the sin.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, what you're saying earlier about Jesus, I think that Jesus's view would always be love the sinner, forgive the sin.
Right. Well, but if you love the sinner and not the sin, then if that is the basis on which they are basing a lot of their judgment on, then how do you take that person? Because if you separate the sin from the person, you love the individual, then you've got to treat that individual with love.
Right. Oh, well, and that's the other thing, the interesting thing I've run into on these boards is that these people think they are loving.
No. I mean,
they really believe that to say you're going to hell if you don't change your ways is the most loving thing that they can say to someone.
They think they're helping us?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that amazes me.
And it's interesting because there's so many people on these boards when I go there and I'm discussing with people that these are the people... These fundamentalists who keep saying this and keep talking about how God's going to punish gay people for, you know, whatever, these people are being run away from God because people turn to these people and go, look, if this is what God is, if God is this judgmental, horrible thing, I'm not going to be worshiping it. And what Soren Kierkegaard, the Danish theologian, once wrote, and I think this is so true about the gay community, is that there's no such thing as spiritual murder. No one can kill your spirituality. There is only spiritual suicide.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. that's what happens to gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender believers, is that they get so much negative stuff they get so much condemnation. They never see what this Christian love is all about. And they kill their spirituality. They go, fine, if God doesn't like me, that's fine, I can live without God. And right. That's what they do. They kill their they kill themselves spiritually. And these people are the ones who are causing them to do this.
Yeah, you know what? I think I was guilty of that early on. I'm trying to regain my spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had to get to a point, to a place in my life where I had to separate what people were saying to me and realize that my relationship with God is my relationship with Him, and exactly. Not somebody else's judgment of what that relationship should be.
Exactly. And that's another point of Kierkegaard's. And can you tell I'm a disciple of Kierkegaard? is that you're an individual before God. Those people who are telling you that you're going to hell, they don't have anything to do with your salvation.
Well, Candace, you know, a lot of them say that we would be given over to reprobate minds if we continue in the path of being gay, lesbian, homosexual, however you want to classify it.
And I never really understood that. You know, I mean, I'm probably the most boring person alive. You know, I get up every day and I go to work and I feed the dog, wash my car and I pay my taxes. I mean, I'm not sure what's so, quote-unquote, reprobate about that.
Well, you know, I often wonder when people say, you're living that gay lifestyle. I want them to define that for me. What really does living a gay lifestyle mean?
Well, and that's the other thing, is that my lifestyle is not driven by my sexual orientation.
Right.
My lifestyle is driven by my income. Mm-hmm. And I would love to afford another lifestyle.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, if you stop and looked at it and compared it, what people call a gay lifestyle is just, you go to work, you come home, Angie takes the dog out and runs with the dog, and you know, she'll sit up and watch the basketball games, and, you know, she does the gardening, and she does the things that normal people do.
Right.
So what's so different? The only piece of it.
The only thing that's different is the gender of the people who lay in the bed at night.
Mm-hmm. And, you know,
totally
sadly to say, that ain't happening very often. So.
Oh, you know what? Troy, you don't have
I'm talking about
her.
Myself.
Okay.
I'm talking about myself.
Wasn't he talking, Candace, he mentioned my name.
Uh-huh.
Just on the first part of it. But just the point to make a reference is that I think that people, who the right wings or whatever you want to call them, and these Christian groups who come out so strongly against gays and lesbians and bisexuals, first of all, they have the wrong conception about what our lives are all about.
Oh, sure.
Secondly, I think that they think that the majority of us are wandering the streets seeking and devouring every human being we see in a sexual way.
Well, I always suspected that the condemnation came from the fear that gay people were having way more fun than straight people.
Mm-hmm. It's true, though. Mm-hmm. We are, but...
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, we are?
But I always figured that
some
was sort of the bottom line resentment there, was that we were just having way more fun. We weren't tied down by, you know, kids and jobs.
And, yeah, you know. And we had more available monies to spend.
Yeah, you know, and I never quite figured that one out.
That's not true in my case.
No.
Well, last week, Candace, we talked about a little bit about not this particular topic, but just information. And one of the things that I had mentioned to Angie last week was that as long as they don't try to learn or attempt to understand, that they can keep the positions that they have and be in a place of ignorance.
Oh, sure. And you would be amazed how people will fight tooth and nail learning anything. I have my oldest sister is a very fundamentalist Christian woman. I love her to death. She's the sweetest and most wonderful woman in the world, but she will not listen to me. She would send me articles, you know, very anti-gay articles written by people who are not gay and don't know the gay, quote-unquote, lifestyle, but they don't know anything about being gay or lesbian. And so they write these broad, sweeping condemnations of gays and lesbians. And I wrote back to her point by point, you know, the fallacies that were in this particular article. And you want to know what she wrote back to me?
What'd she say?
She said that she would take this woman's opinion about homosexuality over mine.
Oh, my.
And I said, that's like asking a cat what a dog's life is like.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
They don't know. They're just speculating, and it was the most wildest, horriblest things that you would want to believe about gays and lesbians. You know, that we're out looking for anything that moves, and we'll jump on it, and, you know, and her first thing was, you know, I wish gays and lesbians would stop, you know, painting, you know, straight people who oppose them with these broad strokes, and then she goes through this whole article painting us with this same broad brush.
Wow. Well, you know, and it kind of goes back to the generalities used in the armed forces to support their position of, you know, don't ask, don't tell, and gays in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that straight Americans have a right to feel comfortable. They don't want to feel uncomfortable when they go sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
because we're just going to attack them in their sleep or whatever.
Right.
I mean.
Well, but the thing is that I always say to your, say to people like that, you know, don't flatter yourself.
Exactly. That's my thoughts. That's what I say.
My oldest brother and I, we had this very same conversation. He was talking about my nephew. I don't want my son going to the military and worrying about some gay man looking at him while he's in the shower, you know, trying to do something to him when he goes to sleep. I said, first of all, we don't want everybody we see.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm sure he'll be safe. But I mean, what is it they think that just because you're a man and I'm a man that I'm going to want you? No, it don't work like that.
Yeah. Well, I came out to a coworker years ago when I was working at a radio station, and they were very nervous around me, you know, and I'm like, you know, come on, let's work this out. And she's like, well, I'm afraid that you're going to be, you know, looking at me. And I'm like,
oh my.
I said, well, no. I said, well, let me just ask you this. Are you attracted to every man you see? And she said, no. And I said, well, why do you think I'm attracted to every woman I see? Mm-hmm. And it really stumped her. She hadn't thought about it that way. And then, of course, the funny thing was she was kind of offended because I wasn't attracted to her.
You know what? That is true. That is true. You
like,
know, they
win.
Really get offended if you're not attracted to them.
Right. This is like, what's wrong with me?
Yes, this is The Other Side with Angie and Troy. We're talking to Candace Shulu. We'll be right back.